Well, welcome everyone to another kind of podcast of Friends Church. It's Jeff here. I'm with Vince, and we are excited because this coming Sunday, that would be, what is it, January 29th?
Yeah.
We are kicking off a new series, and it's a big series, something that has been percolating inside of predominantly Vince's brain. It's scary to imagine what all is percolating up in that thing. But he's been working away on it. And, you know, around here, we end up coming up with different ideas. And then we'll go away and kind of study and then come back and pitch different ideas for series. When he came to me and threw some of these ideas by me, I have to say, I think this has the makings of an amazing series. So what we want to do today, what I was hoping to be able to do is to interview Vince and get him to speak to the why. What is behind the series that we're going to be doing, sharing some of the stuff that we probably won't have time to share once the whole thing gets going. But we'll definitely tee you up for a little bit of background information so you come in running hot. So anyways, Vince, is there anything there I missed?
No, for sure. Let's go.
Okay. So 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Talking about Easter.
Yep.
As soon as you said Easter, I was thinking, okay, what could possibly be said in 8 weeks that we haven't already done again and again? So
I talked to somebody about this series and they said, Vince, you realize it's still January, right? Like, you can't do Easter in January.
So, yeah, I have to say, when you said we're going to do, you know, what if we started Easter like this earlier? I was like, whoa. But again, there is some great material here. So speak to the material. What was really your conceptual idea for the series?
Well, first I started with looking at Easter. I'm always planning for Easter and Christmas. Those are the big ones in the traditional Christian calendar. But the problem with Easter is most people know the ending of the story. So to say something new about the story is a little complex. And you can't have, you know, the cliffhanger, you know, does Jesus die? Does he not die? Huh? We'll tell you next week, right? So it creates this sense of everyone knows the story. So what do you say about it? So I just started reading about it. That's what I do. I go to the library, just pull out a ton of commentaries and books other people have written, and just start looking at reading the story. And what I started to look at is, there's different characters that the authors talked about. There's Peter, there's Judas, there's Mary Magdalene, there's Mary, mother of Jesus. And I started looking at it going, wait a second, each of these characters would have a different way of seeing the story.
Processing what they had witnessed.
Yeah. Perhaps. Now, again, these are stories of others, like verbal stuff that happened many, 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 many years, decades after the event at best. But there's still reasons why those authors picked those characters and put them in those stories. And when you start looking at those characters in those stories through, and you look at the story through their lens, everything changes. It's not just the story about Jesus dying and the resurrection piece. It goes to all the story becomes alive. Most Christians just want to get us to this, whatever part of the story you really love, but you miss some of the key points. Garden of Gethsemane. You know, there's the Jesus praying, but what about the part where he gets arrested? What's going on there? Why is this such a big deal? Why does Peter cut off the guy's ear with a sword? Why? We just jump past that. Oh, let's get to the crucifixion, resurrection. But we miss all these pieces. Look at it through the lens of his mother sitting at the cross watching her son die. In our theology, we miss that. It's like, oh, it's this beautiful moment where Jesus dies and takes, you know, all this theology. But this is a mother watching her child die. This is a story of grief and pain and suffering and loss.
It seems that in some of our traditions, the humanity of the story gets somewhat stripped away to focus on more the theological.
They have a certain model behind, of God,
sure,
yeah.
Sure, that are behind the story. And so you're proposing that we look through the very human lenses, at least that the storytellers give us of these characters in the story, to imagine the implications on individuals, not just there, but now.
And that's, we think of this story as the story that happened 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Let me give you a really good example. Nazism used parts of the Easter story to justify anti-Semitism.
Hmm.
Even now, people will look at the Jewish race or Jewish religion and race, and they'll say, oh, well, no, they're Jews. We're Christians, Jews being less than, Christians being more than. Mm-hmm. Old Testament is this bad thing. The Hebrew Bible is this kind of the thing that sets up the real thing, which is the New Testament. We have all these kind of tensions and anti-Semitic undertones, even in our culture today.
Within the Christian church.
Yeah, that are come from the Easter story.
Yeah.
When we talk about Jesus and the Jews and the chief priests, that's the kind of the parts of the story that we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at the story through the lens of the Jewish community at the time, they've been persecuted, their land's been taken from them. It's a horrific time in their culture. Why would they be reacting the way they are? Are they against Jesus? Or are they just trying to keep their culture together and not just kind of be thrown to the wind?
So you're suggesting that there might be some context, background information, that if we understood it, we would come out with some perhaps really different interpretations of what Jesus might have been feeling, what these characters might have been thinking, than what we've maybe been raised with.
Right. We have a subtle... I shouldn't say it strongly like that. We seem to have a subtle anti-Semitic undertone within Christianity. And it comes from parts of the Easter story. But when we look at it through a new lens, first it challenges our own biases, and then it starts to open us up and say, wait a second, where are we seeing the world through these lenses? So when you think of the Easter story back then, no, it's not just there. It's because Christian culture has influenced a lot of what's going on today, it changes everything for us today.
It was interesting as you began to talk about different characters that you thought would make for great fodder for this series. I right away start asking questions like, okay, so how does this really impact me? Like, and I'm thinking about the average person that comes in to Friends Church on a Sunday into the gym. Some of them may not have the church experience that you and I were raised with. Yet you began to find themes that I thought were very relevant to today. Why don't you just kind of touch on a few of those things that we will be bringing up throughout the weeks?
Well, we also already talked about grief. You know,
sure.
Mother Mary. We've talked about anti-Semitism. One of the really ones I'm really excited about is Mary Magdalene. She's a character in the story, and often you'll see her at the very end. She's at the crucifixion. She's one of the first people who finds the body after the event happens. What does it mean for women in religion right now? Still, many churches won't allow women to hold high places in leadership or teach. How do we look at feminist critiques through this story? How do we get challenged to say, we as a Christian community, how are we going to see women in our culture, in our community?
Wow.
So it starts to push us along the line of going, wait a second, what are we doing here? There's a story about one of the characters. I don't want to kind of spoil the ending because this is one of the ones that we get to kind of hold the ending to the end. But he seems to be trying to get something to happen. He's got this drive to say, I'm going to try and control everyone around me to make this thing that I want happen, happen. And how many times in our lives have we been in that place where we're going, if I could just get everyone doing what I want them to do, then everything will go well, or you know, this event will go down, or this wedding will be the wedding of my life. We don't realize that that's killing something inside of us. So you look at all these characters, when you see them as humans, suddenly their story becomes our story.
Sure, the disappointments, the expectations that we have of life, the touch points, the real life stuff that seems to apply every day in 2017 seems to leap out of the pages of these stories when you really dig down. I was probably most excited about that, thinking that this could be something any person walking through our doors, whether they've had a long, rich church history, or if they've just stumbled off the street hearing about us through some banner, they could come in and actually quite enjoy and glean stuff.
There's a reason why the Christian tradition has held these stories as sacred for so long.
Right.
It's not just because they're interesting or they have a great theology. It's because there's something inside of them that challenges each of us today.
Yeah.
That's the part that gets exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, when people come in and maybe push back at why we use the Bible so much, it's hard until they sit in and listen and hear some of the application that can be pulled from these ancient stories.
Often they've never heard the Bible talked about our way. The Bible is the thing that's true and you have to believe it over there, as opposed to saying, wait a second, these stories become alive when you apply them to your life, today, every day.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose when the Bible is used in a way that isn't so much a rule book or some kind of literal document that needs to be taken word for word, but used in a more than literal way, you know, an approach that we have used here at Friends Church, it seems to land a lot differently for some.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging too. But we were excited about this series because of our opportunity to jump back into the Bible. There's been a couple series here. We've done some heavy relationship intensive stuff. We've also just finished a series on Thin Places that was more experiential than it was necessarily theological of any sort or biblical. So this will be a departure from some of the stuff that we've been doing recently. And
I'm excited.
Yeah, so am I. I don't think it will be any less relevant to any of our lives.
No.
Than any of it. So,
and I'm learning more again of the Easter story in the last couple of weeks than I've done in the last couple of years.
You know, I don't know about you, but I think over the years, just with all the deconstructing and all the looking at some of the traditional views on Easter, there have been times when I've kind of, well, the story's lost its power over me. And so as we've delved into this again with this new set of lenses, I have to say something sparked a new energy for me around the whole celebration of Easter and what it can mean to us. So I know I'm there too. I'm really excited.
Come on out, everyone. We'll have some fun with it.
Yeah, invite a friend. I think you'll be surprised at just how relevant this series is to anyone coming in.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, see you soon.